And welcome to the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction as a podcast this week. Again, it was Christmas on Wednesday, so no show on Wednesday, but here on Thursday as we record, thought we would recap what's going on in high school sports. May not be the normal radio show, but still across the way is Jeff Gress. And need to keep up to speed on what's going on. Can't fall too far behind.
Right. We talk about off air when we miss a week. It just feels off, but I'm...
got it up last week.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad we're doing this. This will be cool. My first podcast, so I feel like I should just keep talking.
Well, every week is kind of a podcast, but sort of different.
But we could call it.
We have the freedom here without commercial breaks here.
I like it. This will be cool.
All right. Let's jump in. Wisconsin Valley Conference boys basketball. And last week had some big ones in the WVC. Friday night, let's talk about the conference games first, and we'll talk about what the other teams did outside of that as well. But on Friday, it was Marshfield defeating Wausau East, 77-65, big game, obviously. Marshfield went into East and took charge early, 47-27 at halftime. Brooks Hinson showed why he is he's on the cover of the yearbook. He had a massive night, 28 points, 11 of 15 from the field. Landon Lee, 17 points for Marshfield. Jesse Napgesic, 23 points. Jaden Garrett, 15 as well for East. But I think early in the season, we've been looking at this one, the pre-holiday schedule, this would be the big one, and Marshfield put a stake in the ground on Friday night.
Well, yeah, and anytime, I think the big thing for teams in these games, especially these early conference clashes like you have where Marshfield and East are both sitting at the top or trying to vie for the top, is where you get that game at. So for Marshfield, I think it's a big deal. They went into East because as the home team, you always want that game because that's the one you should get because it's in our gym. That's where we practice. And if you can go get that one, it's tougher to play in front of that opposing crowd, especially one that's so close to Christmas break. You know, kids aren't always thinking of everything that's a priority like your team schedules and – you know, you want to get out of school and be done with that. So I think for Marshfield, it's, they came out in that commanding lead, and they're going to get a player back to it after in a couple weeks here where I think that's going to also just help propel them. So, and they're going to chat. We'll talk about it in the upcoming parts of the podcast here, but they're going to go out and challenge themselves in Orlando too a little bit.
So yeah.
I thought for Marshfield, a big win, and you got some numbers out of the players that you saw on both sides. And for East, 7-1 isn't a shabby start before the Christmas break either. That's a nice win. But you got these conference games that dual fighting that you want to get is has to come about.
The thing about Marshfield, and we often talk about the way the schedule kind of lays out, and you talk about because you've been around it for such a long time and you had some input on how your schedule goes. They haven't played a lot. That was only their fifth game, and they've been a little up and down. They're 3-2 overall, but now 2-0 in the WVC. The games where they needed to step up against DC Everest on the road and on the road against Wausau East, they've done it. What's your take on their schedule early? Do you think it's something that is really setting up now that they got those two road wins in the conference against a couple of teams that were expected to be in the top half? I mean, it looks like it's setting up pretty nicely as they get more busy, and as you said, coming up here down in Florida, getting challenged by teams from outside Wisconsin. It feels like Marshfield, in addition, as you said, I think some issues within the program with major players, but at the same time, there's a lot there, but they're still the team to beat, aren't they?
Well, I think you've had, we talked about that the Valley boys conference is tough this year. It's got a lot of good players back. It's top to bottom, there's some teams that can beat up on each other and teams vying for that top spot. So I think for Marshfield, being in the driver's seat is what you want. You went and got one at Everest, you went and got one against East, which is off to a great start at 7-1 and a tough team, and between Nebgezik and Garrett and Kaylee, those guys, you're going to get the fight out of them on a given night. So I think Marshfield has to be feeling really good, as much as also those losses that they are taking, they're being challenged in their non-conference schedule. I mean, it's not you got to feel you're pretty good if you're going to, we're going to go take it. It's not about a trip to Orlando. It's about playing some other teams that are way outside the area to challenge yourself. So, I think anytime you can go on the road and the conference throws at you what it throws at you to start, but that's a big game on Friday. And for Marshfield, you're sitting in the driver's seat, that's good. For East, though, too,
what about East?
I think they've done an outstanding job, too. And to have that one loss, you're going to look at it, you're going to learn from it, and you're going to keep fighting for the type of team that they are. They're going to be hanging around yet because they're going to get some they're going to continue to get the W's that they need to get. So they're going to be up there still, and they can learn from this game and figure what they got to do the next time they see Marshfield to knock them off.
I thought this next score was a misprint when I saw it because I wasn't there Friday night at the
fieldhouse. I was
going to
ask
if
you knew anything about it. But
no,
yeah.
No. Go ahead. It's like Wausau West beat Rapids 60-12. I watched the video of it on the weekend, and yeah, that was the score, 60-12. And Wausau West is for real. I mean, we've talked about they're 5-1 overall. Now they're 2-0 in the WVC. They had a really good week with the win against Medford and then the win against Rapids. And like Marshfield, they're going to be at the same event down in Florida this weekend. And again, it's a team that has really come together nicely. They got experience. They got guys who play really well together. It looks like a really good chemistry with that group, and to do what they did against Rapids was really impressive.
Yeah, I had a you had to blink your eyes a couple times to make sure that that score was right, because that's pretty lopsided for what the how competitive I feel the Valley is on any given night. But you look at Rapids, they're struggling right now. They're 0-6 and obviously 0-1 after that loss to West in the conference. But for West, you talked about it early on when we discussed some of the teams and games and players coming up, and just said watch them. They're gonna be solidified in this conference because of how hard they play defense, the intensity and the physicality they bring on a given night. And they might not be big, but the key players in there, Mattson and Lang are gonna get their numbers, and they're gonna propel that team along with the solid nucleus they have. And it's showing. They're off to a 5-1 start, 2-0 in the conference, and a very competitive, strong group that's gonna want to be in the thick of things, in the mix of things. And I like that they're too going out and challenging themselves and not being dormant over Christmas. That's a good thing.
DC Evers fell to Stevens Point 62-51. Grant Chandonat 21 for Stevens Point. Cade Felch 20. Xavier Edwards 18 for the Evergreens. But that was we talked about last week. Both teams had lost their conference opener. Both teams wanted to be 1-1 in the conference and not 0-2. And Stevens Point was able to take care of business. They then played Saturday as well and lost to Fort Atkinson 55-46. But it's been a bit of an up and down season for both those squads so far. And like Marshfield, I think Stevens Point's going to get a little bit of talent very, very soon.
Yeah, it's funny watching these teams kind of develop and slide into their spot in the conference, yet players are coming and going based on injury, sicknesses, or they're coming back based on
eligibility.
Yeah, eligibility and things that they've had to fight through to become eligible. So I think for Spash, with Owie coming back, that's going to change the makeup a little bit. Teams is going to give them another weapon to make them a little more dangerous. We talk about these teams that are hanging around looking for that conference win, and Spash took care of business with a 62-51 win over Everest. For Everest, I think it's they have some injuries that we've talked about already, but I think they're still getting production where they're staying in a competitive realm.
But Cohen Priebe's so important in everything that they do.
He did that.
Losses are bigger than others.
Yeah, that floor general spot, that assistant coach out on the court, type of guy that
so
he
much
is.
Experience.
Yeah, that's you need that, and that's only going to help him when he is. I take it. Is he coming back?
We don't know.
So if he can come back, that's only going to help him. But I do like the fact that they're staying competitive, and Felch and Studeman and Edwards, they're getting some double digit scoring out of that, and hopefully can carry them through to stay in a good spot to be in the mix of those things. So forever, fighting through some things, looking to get that first conference win yet. But for Spash, that I have one of the guys I coach with. On my son's team, Fort Atkins graduate, said they're a pretty good, solid team down in that Badger Conference. So for Everest, or for Spash to go down there and lose, well, that's a good, a good game for them to fight through to have a good non-conference opponent when they go on the road like that.
And Merrill was not the team that played a conference game on Friday. They were in action Thursday, and my game was postponed because we had the snow on Thursday. So I actually watched Merrill and Medford, and I had seen Medford earlier in the week, and Medford came out, and they were just draining three-pointer after three-pointer. They took a double-digit lead. I thought it was going to be a blowout, but Merrill really did a nice job. They came back, and they won that one 71-63. E.J. Wykes had 18 points. Corey Page, who just returned, and he looked like he was never gone, 17 points. Tyson Ott, 15. Jacob Smelcher, 12 for Merrill. I was impressed. I really thought at Medford, the way that game started, they were going to win that basketball game, but then Merrill came back, and that's a really significant win because, again, I haven't got the brackets in front of me, but very often those teams are in the same part of the bracket.
Yeah, and you like to have that bragging right and that way to notch your team up a little bit higher in your seedings, because coaches pinmark those games that are big games along the way for just their understanding of what their teams have to get done. I thought for East that was a nice win, for Merrill, that was a nice win against Medford because, you know, it's that battle across 64. It happens. Those teams are kind of tight, even though they're in different conferences. And I thought, Medford's always well-coached. They have a great tradition, track record over the years of being one of the forces in the GNC.
And they are in the same bracket.
Yeah.
So brought it up.
Good call. Yeah. So I think that win for the Blue Jays was a good one. And I think, you know, we talk about Wyke so much as being the major guy, and to have Page back and put some extra, it just gets you another weapon. And when you got two guys doing things on the court, it's kind of, it's dangerous to defend, and especially when you can combat a solid start. Sometimes it's hard to come back when you're doing everything in your power and you're like, I think we got hands up. I'm getting guys out there, and they're still hitting them in our face. And to get back and bounce back and get control of that game and take the lead and win the game ultimately is a good win for Merrill.
Great Northern Conference, and looks like Mosinee, very, very strong, 82-55 Friday over Antigo. It was basically over at the half, 47-24. Braden Reinke at 21 points and 12 boards. Treve Stoffel, 12 for Mosinee. And then you got Rhinelander, who's looking really, really good as well. They have been not only winning, but they have been just dominant, 76-22. And I'm a little bit surprised. Lakeland have been struggling a little bit, but they defeated Pines 51-46 on Friday night. And again, I think Mosinee's looking very, very good, but that Rhinelander team is really looking good. I mean, they have been dominant so far this season.
Yeah, I thought just Rhinelander scores, like you said, are they're. I mean, some of the teams they should be beating by that much, but they're consistent. You know, they're 3-0 in the conference and 6-0 overall. And I think the point production out of Feck and Lamers are, you know, they're both at about 16 a game. So that again gives you that dual threat scoring opportunities. And you know, Coach Lemons has been up there a long time working with that school system and that program, and just gets a lot out of his team. Sometimes even when we think that they're going to be in the middle of the pack, they're the sleeper team. They'll sneak up on you. They'll get one because they're well coached. For Mosinee, you know, taking care of business again, keeping at bay the middle of the pack in Antigo and stuff, and showing that they go out and own that spot in the conference, and they want to be in the thick of things because that's what they're used to, being up on top of there. And I thought, like you mentioned, the Lakeland game, I saw that score where they won 51-46 over Pines, and that was a good win because we saw Pines early on in the West tournament and thought that they're a team that can kind of shift around in there based on the talent that they have and that they were up a little bit from last year. So I think for Lakeland, you know, a nice win over that Pines team that looks solid in the early part of the Thanksgiving tournament.
We're going to find out a lot about Rhinelander in the next 3 weeks or so. They are participating at the Wisconsin Dells tournament, and that's always a challenge. You were there a few years.
Yeah, it's just a different style of ball.
Right.
When you're playing, so
you go down there, and they play Ripon tomorrow and Wisconsin Dells on Saturday. And then next Friday, they go to Wausau East, another matchup that involves teams in that very same bracket. If you look at that bracket, it really is competitive. You have Rhinelander in that bracket. You have Wausau East in that bracket. You have Merrill in that bracket. You have Medford in that bracket. Lakeland's always a solid program in that bracket. Menominee's in that bracket. You got teams from the West, New Richmond and Rice Lake in the bracket. I mean, that's a very good Division II bracket, and these games mean a lot. You don't want to, if you're Rhinelander, you don't want to go twice to Wausau East. You'd love to win the first time and then maybe make them come up north in the playoffs.
Yeah, and same thing on East thinking, too. They want to, if they have to play them, they want to bring them down to their gym. So I think that'll be a good game because both those teams have a scoring punch to them. They have coaches that have done this for a while. They've had this matchup where it's kind of been a rivalry. Rhinelander and East have been playing each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, and then it's got the playoff implications. So I just think a lot's there. That'll be a cool game to see because I imagine Rhinelander, you know, East obviously has the punch in those three guys that in Kaylee Garrett and Nebgesic that are going to bring it to the table. But, you know, Rhinelander likes to get up and down the floor, and they like to shoot around and hang out around that arc, and that can be a game changer. So I think that'll be an interesting score to watch as that game takes place after teams get done with their Christmas tournaments.
Merrillwood South, and there was quite a week. We talked about last week. This was a conference that had two games here in the run-up to Christmas, and with games on Friday and then again on Monday, and talked about how it was possible for teams to go 2-0 and maybe even going 2-0 And I think the team that kind of made the leap was Marathon. Marathon went on the road on Friday, rolled past Pneuma Catholic 67-44. Cody Radke 13, True Thurs and Sawyer Barons 12. Drew Wolfel 10 for Marathon. Quincy Fender 22 for Newman in that game. And then on Monday, they defeated Assumption. Assumption had the big upset win on Friday, winning over Auburndale 48-40. But then Marathon defeated Assumption Monday 67-54. And again, you see Marathon early. They had lost so much production due to graduation. They lose by 40 points to Wausau East. They struggle to win against Shawamigan. They have a loss at home against Rib Lake. You're thinking, oh, this may be the year that somebody can go out there and get Marathon. And those were two big wins. And it shows again that Coach Jacobson knows what he's doing in terms of building up that team. And I think they're going to be a team that gets better and better.
Yeah, Marathon's always, I think, scary in that sense over the years when I had a coach. They're never out. It doesn't matter what the talent pool, the ability level is, what type of team they are, what they've lost to graduation. There's just a rich tradition. Those kids are, and those coaches are very prideful in what they put out on the court. The thing that stood out for me, I mean, I obviously have scorekeeping, so I try to, as you are now, it's hard. It's always hard to read the game and see every little thing. But just the discipline with Marathon. You mentioned that maybe Coach Jacobson wants to cut down on some turnovers, but yeah. When I watch that team, I watch a team that very strong in the pass. The body language shows me that it's very intent and fundamentally sound in the direction they want the ball to go. It's a level of discipline that, you know, not every team always carries, and I think that you could see that in not only their decision making, but also in the how sound they tried to move the ball and intentional it was, and I think there's room for it's going to be nonstop growth and improvement with them, because you've got some guys that have always been key cogs in Wolfel and Thurs, and the other guys around them just want to step up and pick up the slack for what they've lost to graduation. That I think it's just that transition of more leadership, more growth, more guys filling in the gaps, and they're going to get it down because they're well coached, and there's that staff is so intent on putting the best product out there, as are the players. The score was 67-44 with Newman, but you could see they weren't satisfied. They want to always play to perfection, and I think that's a big deal. And I think Marathon's sitting in a really good spot. Two good wins with Newman and Assumption there,
and you got Marathon, Auburndale, and Stratford all 4-1 in the conference. Both Auburndale and Stratford are 6-1 overall. Mentioned that Auburndale lost to Assumption. JT Schlafer 23 in that game for Assumption. Blake Robb 12 for Auburndale. Then Auburndale was able to bounce back, beat Edgar 63-31, 25 points, 11 rebounds for Blake Robb for the Eagles. And you have Stratford. They bounced back with that one-point loss against Marathon last week, able to beat their rival Edgar 52-40. Drew Brusewitz 14, Jet Shaner 11, Alec Chappell 10 for Stratford. And those players were among the leaders against Newman on Monday when they won 50-41. I think that one thing we're seeing here early is that the competition level is obviously very high. Everybody's lost already. But also, number two, that there is work to be done. I think we've seen enough Merrowood South games here early on that some of these teams that you know are going to get better. I think that Stratford, I did not think they played that well on Monday. I thought for much of the game they didn't have that energy that I would expect from Stratford. I think maybe the Monday right before Christmas may have been a factor coming down the road. But I do think all these teams have room for growth as we get into January.
Yeah, the thing I like about this conference is you just kind of wail on each other. You could go and pick a game apart each time that a team didn't perform up to when you've seen them at their best. And so there's room for the growth out of these teams, as well as these coaches playing this chess match to kind of figure it out. And that's why you've got a team losing by one here, and then another team the Auburndale game kind of surprised me, where Auburndale beat Edgar 63-31, because I think Edgar's going to, is still getting their, it takes a little while to get your, from one sport to the other when you go long. I think it takes a little while to get rid of that the football legs and put it back to the basketball conditioning and getting that solidified. So I think they're going to be a team that is going to creep up and sleep on somebody. I think, you know, Stratford is always going to be in the thick of things. These coaches, some of these coaches on these teams have just done it for so long. Or, like, you know, in Edgar and Assumption's case, you have coaches that have they were players at one time. And now they're going, you know, they know how this conference works and the physicality that's needed to be successful and the consistency that you need. So it's just a constant retooling of the kids' skills and the strategies you want to do. And I think you're going to see that where teams you're going to win this conference with like four losses at the top. I mean, they're just going to get after each other. And that's what you're sealing on with three teams tied at 4-1. And I think Stratford, Marathon, Auburndale also have room for growth, where I think Newman, Edgar, and Assumption can beat any one of those teams at a given point. I just think from top to bottom, it's going to be a dogfight, and there's not a team that can't beat another team. And I think that's the fun of it, though, going out there on any given night knowing you can't have the night off. And I think Assumption has the capabilities to knock some teams off, even though they're sitting in the middle of stuff right now.
You see them beat Auburndale, then you see them lose today as we record. They were at the Century Classic already getting underway today. And losing to Amherst, who lost by double digits to Newman for the only win the Cards have had. So the consistency is not quite there at all.
And that's the thing that I think makes this interesting. And it makes us not allowed to figure it out. I mean, just when you think you've got something that you understand and know, somebody beats somebody that shouldn't. So I think that's the beauty. You shouldn't have a night off in high school sports, and it should be a game every time you take the floor. Even when the chips are against you or you think you own that game, it should be a dogfight. It just makes for a stronger competitive schedule.
Merrillwood North, Rib Lake, still top of the league. They're 4-0 in the conference, 4-2 overall. Phillips, 3-1 and 5-1. Prentice, 2-2 and 4-2. Abbotsford, 1-3, 3-3. Athens 1-3, 1-6, and Shawamigan 0-4, 2-5. Prentice beat Shawamigan 70-50 on Thursday. Then Friday, Phillips beat Athens 63-56, and Rib Lake again, they beat Abbotsford 70-62. And we've seen, I mean, Shawamigan almost beat Marathon. We saw Abbotsford go beat Newman on the road. I mean, it looks like there's not any soft touches this year in the North where we've seen that in the past.
Yeah, I think the North is a lot stronger based on not only the scores, but even the things that they're taking to some of the different stronger teams in the South, how competitive it is. So I think we've talked about that, you know, off air or on right. The show, where they've taken steps forward. That the cool thing is that those all count as conference games, and there's not any gimme or somebody you're going to kind of kick to the curb and be able to move on. I thought going into the season that Rib Lake, people are telling me, might be a little down. They might have lost a little bit, but you know, they're sitting 4-0. I watched Abby against Newman, who I thought could get up and down the floor and played a really kind of fun style of basketball. Watching them, we're on a night, if you let Abbotsford loose and get into a foot race with them, you're going to have a nightmare. And for Rib Lake to take that one over at Abbey, not on their home court, 76-2, that's a nice win. Phillips is being consistent at 3-1 in that conference, beat Athens, who's always a rugged physical team that shows up to play hard. And, you know, Prentice taking down one of the teams that when we saw Shawamigan get close to Marathon, took them down by 20 points, which is a nice win for Prentice.
CWC East and Bondwell and Whitburn continue to pace the way. Both those squads are 4-0 in the conference. Bondwell 7-0 overall. Whitburn 5-1. Their only loss was a tight one to Rhinelander, who's undefeated. So obviously, Whitburn has challenged themselves out of conference as well. Iola Scandinavia 3-1 in the conference, 5-2 overall. Shiocton 2-2 in the league. Amherst 1-3. Menominee Indian 1-3. Wyawega Fremont 1-3. And Manawa 0-4. Whitburn on Friday, they did what they do. They beat Amherst. And again, Amherst today, I was listening to that game on our Civic Media sister station, and they were popping three-pointers all over the place in the first half and beat a good Assumption team by double digits, 59-46. But Whitburn on Friday beat Amherst 72-48. And a good balance for the Chargers. Jet Rogowski 19, Xander Bark had 18, Jaden Clark 17, Oliver Fraser 10. They took care of business immediately. It was 44-22 at halftime. And Shiocton was impressive this week. They went over the 100 mark back-to-back days. Friday night beating Shiocton 102-75. They had three players between 20 and 21 points and five in double figures. And then, you know, they still have the legs on Saturday as they scored 105 against Manitowoc Lutheran, winning 105-62. And again, five players in double figures for Bonduelle. Both those teams look very, very impressive early.
Yeah, and we talk about it that these are the two that are always seeming the top, whether it's on the boys or the girls side, just hanging around there. And I think looking at Wittenberg with a 4-0 mark in the conference, we talked about that they have the scoring punch. They have some kids that have had a plenty of experience there. Rogowski, he can fill it up. He's been doing it for a while. But the win, I think over, we have a little bit of a measuring stick in Amherst. You know, Amherst lost to Newman, beat Assumption. So I think if they can go out and they owned them, you know, by 24 points, that's a good win for Wittenberg. And I think it's going to come to a head with those conference games where they go against Bonduelle. Bonduelle has, you know, made a nice deep run last year, and just athleticism and consistent and gave Marathon a great game in the playoffs last year. And I think that's just going to come down to those two teams, which I think the first one is January 7th, and Wittenberg has to go over there for their I think that might be their next game.
They play over break, but they take a trek to. But let's finish.
But anyway, January 7th is going to be a big game for both those teams.
They do play before then. So
gotcha.
And finally, CWC North. We talked about Northern Lutheran last week with the student athlete guest Andrew Wickman, and they were able to take care of business, 71-36 over Marion on Friday. And Tigerton beat Boulder 76-30. So you got Northland at 3-0 in the conference, 5-3 overall. Tigerton is 2-0 in the conference and 6-1 overall. And it looks like those are the two teams that will fight it out in a very narrow CWC North.
Yeah. When we talked to Andrew at the show, one of his things was, you know, Marion's a rivalry game. They got to get them. They feel that helps solidify trying to stay on the top of that conference. And to go over there, at the opposing team's gym and get a significant win with 71-36 is good news for them. They're sitting 3-0 at the top. And I think Dan Hoffa, who I used to coach against in Pittsville, and he moved around a little bit, now has ended at Tigerton. He did a nice job with that group. I don't know what year that is over there for him, but he did a really nice job with the kids last year to kind of get them up on the top of that conference. They may even won that conference, and this year they're hanging around good. So I think it's going to come to a head when those teams meet, and Tigerton is doing a nice job too.
Let's go right into the upcoming games with the boys. We'll boys and then go girls completely. So, and the thing that jumps out, and it feels like almost everybody is playing. I mean, there used to be a time where you would see a number of schools, but a lot of schools be completely shut down from Christmas through New Year's. And you see a lot of these teams. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that's not playing at all.
No, well, and this, I think, you know, especially if you have that big win right before Christmas, you don't want to shut it down and be like, you know, we got some practices here and there. I'm giving you some time off for holidays. So we can bring alumni in. It doesn't give you the same feel for when you're going to these Christmas terms. I think you stay fresher doing that. I know that's not compatible with every program and coaches and team's schedule, but I think it's a big deal to stay active over Christmas. And I think the players like it. I mean, just talking to some of the players I have over these last couple of days, it's like they
actually, Newman doesn't play,
right?
Do they?
Some of the players like to stay active and like to do that if it works out within their schedule and you can find the right places versus just, you know, let's be honest. Kids look forward to games. Mm-hmm. Practice is practice for a lot of them, and the game keeps them active, and I think it's a big deal to stay active.
Valley teams, you got Wausau East is in the Omro Classic. They are taking on Omro and Berlin. Stevens Point is at the Century Classic. They will meet Beaver Dam tomorrow, and then on Saturday, Watertown. You have both Wausau West and Marshfield going down to the KSA Florida Tournament. They'll have games on Friday, Saturday, and Monday. DC Everest on Monday and Tuesday of next week. They'll be playing in the River Falls Classic against River Falls and Menominee. Merrill is playing at the Marshall Tourney. They will be playing tomorrow against Edgewood, and then to be determined on Saturday. And then they add a non-conference game at Lakeland coming up on Monday. Again, that's a game that's a sectional game, so significant for that. And Wisconsin Rapids is at the Justin Game Fieldhouse, taking on DeForest tomorrow, and then Reedsburg on Saturday. And I think that's everybody, and they're all involved one way or the other.
So I like a lot of this. Like, I like Merrill. You're going to go get a tournament in, keep your kids active in some games against some teams, you know, out of the area. I know the ones that to be determined will go play Edgewood, which will be a nice game for them. And then you pop back and you have like a playoff implication game on the 30th. I think that's just it's just kind of a nice, just to pop one at home. Right. I like the way they set that up. So for Weston Marshfield, let's take the going the distance here. I think that's got to be fun. I mean, I can't imagine organizing that, but saying, hey, families, we're going down for Christmas break. We're going to Florida. And I'm sure some of their families are joining them. And I think that'll be neat to see how they do. And the neat thing about it is you get three games, and they're spread out a little bit. So I think the crucialness, which people might miss not being able to hang around with the team, is the bonding that also goes on. I mean, you're hanging with your team, you're hanging with your buddies. It's just not that they already might not be there because they're close-knit spending the basketball season together, but I think it just adds an element of it's a great team development atmosphere in you. And I think also at the same time, it tests you, gets you out of the waters of Central Wisconsin, and kind of gets you into that, let's see what we're made out on a bigger picture on the national scale against some of these teams that are coming from other places. So I think that's a good feel. Spash does what Spash does, where they go to the Century Classic, and they play against teams that are the same division, and that's a cool matchup too, especially what UW-Stevens Point does over the time there, where I think they run games Thursday through Saturday at least, right? I know they talked about starting today. And
they did.
And I can't remember if they run in the next week on a Monday, Tuesday.
No,
at all.
I think it's just
ends Saturday.
Saturday.
So, but that's always cool for that local, get out on the college court there. And East, I think that'll be a nice little jump because they've typically been in the Stratford tournament playing teams, usually a little bit different divisions. And here I think you'll get into some teams that are more, whether they're higher, they're at least at the Division II level, which I think is a nice feel to go over to that Fox Valley area and get, you know, Amro, I've heard their name over the years, and Berlin and things like that, and go play some of those teams a little bit out of the area to the east. And Everest does the same thing. They go challenge themselves on a college court and in a tournament where they're on a different side of the state. So I think all good things being active and playing, and it'll be neat to see how those play out when we get to next Wednesday's show.
And the Great Northern teams, Mosinee is over in Green Bay. They'll be at the Preble Classic taking on Southern Door on Friday and to be determined on Saturday. Mentioned that Rhinelander will be in the Wisconsin Dells Classic against Ripon and the Dells. Also there is Antigo from the very same conference taking on the very same two opponents.
Yep.
And Merrill, as I said, Lakeland will play a non-conference game against Merrill on Monday. Medford is not in a tournament. They'll take on River Falls on Tuesday. I guess different ideas. Instead of playing a tournament, you got these teams that are just playing non-conference games, but again, being active.
Right, and I like,
and Pines is at Adams Friendships Tournament. So,
and I think unless I wrote this wrong, Medford might be in the River Falls, might be at River Falls, but it's Monday and Tuesday. I got versus New Richmond and River Falls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're exactly right.
So I don't know if that's a continuation of that tournament.
Medford plays New Richmond on Monday and Tuesday River Falls. And
yeah, so it's kind of neat to see the different divisions over there at that area. For Mosinee, you know, we talked about Rinke and Stoffel putting up some points for him. So for that team just to continue to build in a tournament, you know, Southern Door is in that conference with all those mixed-up teams where they got Green Bay, New Lutheran. So they got D5, D4. D3 and that stuff, so that's kind of neat to see that they'll be taking on some teams. And the thing I find interesting is Rhinelander's going to the Wisconsin Dells tournament.
Right.
But the JAG has one, too, because we see teams at the Justin Game Fieldhouse, and sometimes those aren't the same ones being taken on by the high school, and I don't know if that's all a conglomeration of all those schools.
I think it's separate.
Yeah, so, but I like the way you're getting out of the area to challenge themselves, and again, I just think that team time together is so valuable to have, and for players and families to get to do this, you know, after the kids graduate, it's done. So it's kind of nice to see that you're out doing that. And Lakeland, we'll see how that works with the one non-conference game over the Christmas break.
Merrillwood South, the Marathon has we talked about this. somewhere we talked about this, where they're just playing Columbus yes. In a solo game.
Coach Snyder. Coach Snyder brought up. And some of those schools, too, just not to jump way far right. away, but the GNC has that where, like, Rhinelander, when they're going down to the Dells, I think their girls are going down there. So yeah. I think that's a cool school-building moment of their community, too. But go on.
You got Stratford, as they do every year. They're hosting their tournament. They will take on Manawa Friday and either Owen Withy or Fall River on Saturday. Edgar is going to the Wabino Leona tournament. They'll take on the host on Friday and then take on Crandon on Saturday. You have Auburndale hosting their classic, as they do every year. And it's sort of different. They're playing Saturday and Monday. They're playing Saturday against Wyawega Fremont, and then they'll take on Neillsville on Monday in that classic. Assumption is in the Century Classic. We saw that they lost already to Amherst, and they got a very tough game coming up on Saturday. They take on Bonduelle. So, I mean, Assumption's really testing themselves as well. And who am I missing here? I don't think I'm missing anybody yet because Newman's not playing at all.
Right. The Auburndale idea. I like because, you know, you get families home, you get alumni back. I like the way they've spread that out a little bit. And it gets them two games. It gives them some practice time in between. So I think, and you're playing it at home. Yep. I think that's a great idea whenever you can. I remember one of the coaching times when we brought Eau Claire Regis and Weston for a non-conference schedule over Christmas. And I can't remember the fourth team. But it was a lot of fun having those that idea, that atmosphere at Newman. And I think for Auburndale, that'll be a cool way to spread it out. Marathon does it the different way. We're going to bring in one game over there. We're going to give the kids some of their time back, too, and it's going to be against a good opponent with Columbus Catholic, and I like the idea of the boys-girl doubleheader. I think that's nice to get those programs gelling a little bit across the genders that way. Stratford, you know, like Clockwork does their Christmas tournament like they always do, a couple different teams in that this year, where Manawa has been a strong team in their conference over the years, and Fall River has been down at state a couple times, so I think that bringing some of those teams in are good. Assumption, I like test. They have a very good junior class, and I like the test they're throwing. Getting into that different conference with Amherst and now Bonduelle, you'll get to see how you can bounce back. I think it's a good test coming off a loss. Right. Can you bounce back against a better team? And we'll see how that goes. And
I predict they won't.
Okay, well, you never know. Okay, I'll take the other.
I'm not saying it against Assumption. I'm just saying that Bonduelle's that good.
Very
good. I
want to see him do it, though. I like the challenge. I like the challenge.
I know.
But you're right. Bonduelle's a good team. Not going to be an easy
but
thing.
But you'll learn something out of it. That's for sure.
And I like the fact that I'm hoping I'm right because a lot of the stuff we talk about runs together over the years. So I don't have it on paper. We got to remember back. I'm pretty sure Edgar has lied a little bit dormant over Christmas break. And for them, you know, I've talked to Coach Paul a number of times because we got kids in the same class and we had some AAU experiences together. And I'm so old that when I first started coaching, he was a player or he was on the JV. So for his group to go out and hop in a tournament and get that extra time in, I think it is valuable to keep momentum going, keep trying to grow within that conference, which is going to be a big battle. So I think having a tournament over Christmas is good for Edgar.
And I was wrong. I admit when I'm wrong.
Okay.
Wittenberg-Burnham does not play over the holiday.
Well, let's just check.
Their next game is January the 7th at Bonduelle.
All right. So
it was the girls
for the record
about
of this podcast,
I know.
It is in Jeff Gress's notes. No. January 7th at Bonduelle.
That's
nothing
right.
At Christmas. Okay.
How do you like that?
But here was where I was wrong. I had West not doing anything over Christmas. So I played along with that the minute you said that. So
I would have not known better, except I got the program and I follow West. But you're right. They're not showing up in the WIS sports schedule. Which
we do need updated for our sake.
But what do you think, Wittenberg not playing?
I don't know. I mean, so you get a nice win over Amherst on Friday, and then you turn around with your biggest conference opponent. I guess it's coach's preference, and then you have to – it's not – no matter what, they're not playing. So you've got to find a way to keep the mind and the body active, and it can be done. You know, you bring in alumni and you give them some different tasks and challenges, make that practice and atmosphere really, really competitive. You can do it sometimes to get your feet wet, and it might not be a bad thing either, the philosophy of like – guys, this is our next task. We want to win the conference. So it might not be a bad thing to not have anything and just get to focus on them till that time where Bonduelle is out in a tournament. And so I guess we'll see.
We will definitely see.
Two different ways of looking at it.
I think you're going to exactly right. When Tuesday, the 7th of January comes by and you see what happens in that game. We will see.
Yeah.
You know, it's
too hard to predict.
And
now.
Again, even what happens that night doesn't mean.
No, there's always another game.
Ultimately, that, you know, doing one way or the other is right or wrong. We're going to take a brief time out. We will come back and we'll talk about girls basketball and hockey before we wrap up this podcast only edition of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. And we are continuing here on our podcast only edition of the Big High School Sports Show this week because of Christmas. Yeah, we tried to get Christmas moved off Wednesday, but nobody would listen. So no show this week, but we'll be back with a New Year's Night edition. We'll see if anybody else wants to come in on New Year's Night, but we'll figure
we'll
that out.
Here.
But we will be here. So with Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes, and now time to talk about girls basketball. Let's start with the Wisconsin Valley Conference, and no surprises. I bet there was one interesting game. Actually, I thought the most interesting game was the game between Wausau West and Wisconsin Rapids. We mentioned that when you look at this league, those are the games you got to get.
Yep.
And Wausau West went on the road and they beat Rapids 60-56. All of a sudden, they're 2-1 in the conference. It's been not an easy start for Wausau West, but they found a way to win on the road against Rapids get their second win overall on the season. Also, the other games, not really, you know, competitive, and I don't think we're surprised. Marshfield over Wausau East 74-17. Stevens Point beat Everest. Everest has been competitive this year. I think, taken some big steps, but Stevens Point's got too much right now, 56-22. And Merrill struggled in a non-conference loss against Pittsville, 60-38. But anything that jumps out in terms of the Valley on the girls' side?
No, I mean, we talked about kind of a, I don't know, must win isn't always the right way to say it, but you want to win that.
When you look at the schedule
of
the conference games, those are ones that you kind of circle, right?
And the game that, you know, you wanted to get, I mean, just with that win, they get back in the thick of things at the top of the conference.
Puts them in the pole position for third, I mean, right now.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of games you have to have. So, and to go over there and do it, it looked like it was a tight one with a 60-56 final score. So good for West to kind of get back in the thick of things a little bit just based on that one game. Marshfield did what they should with East with East trying to rebuild a little bit. And, you know, Merrill stepped out of the conference, and Pittsville's been a good team the last couple of years.
Yes, they have.
You know,
Merrill's been a little bit of up and down, more than some of the other teams, I think.
Yeah.
I think that you've seen the teams that have been up, and you've seen the teams that have been down, and there in the middle has been Merrill up and down, and I'm not sure what to make of them quite yet.
Yeah, but I get, you know, for me, if it's that, you know, I know Pittsville's good, a little tougher score than you probably want at the end of the day that, you know, Coach DeBoer would want for his girls to finish out with. But still in the thick of things in the middle of that conference when they jump back after Christmas break and start getting into that conference schedule a little thicker. And for Everest, I, you know, like you said, Spash is a really good team in that conference. Soybert is a monster with the amount of scoring she does.
She is really fun to watch. I remember her as a freshman last year watching her play. And it's just, you know, you like the kids that, whether it's girls or the boys, that you watch them and you just see that the way they move, the way that they see the game, that they just really know the game, and she's one of those.
It was, she stands out. So you know, a tough draw for Everest at that point. But again, looking, you know, other games that they've had have been competitive, and they're looking to kind of get out. You know, as Coach Bullis said early in the season, we want to get out of that bottom set, and this way of thinking.
Right.
And so, and you're seeing that transition. It'll still be a building process that gets the better teams in that conference.
Well, the problem is, again, they just don't have the firepower offensively. So they're playing, they played a number of really low scoring games. They took Marshfield to a tight game, and they're low scoring, but when you have a team like Stevens Point that has that ability to put the ball in the hole, it's just hard to keep up sometimes. And when you feel the need to score, then it gets even harder for a team that at times struggles offensively.
And I'm still, and I've been looking, you know, for Marshfield, that's still a team I'm trying to see where they stand.
It's hard to tell right now.
It's just, they're 4-2 overall. They're obviously won all their three of their conference games, but they host their own tournament. It'll be interesting to see how they do.
Well, that's the one that's been going on forever.
It'll be interesting to see how they do against some of those teams in different areas of the state that they always have wars against anyway. When we get the playoff time,
and they always play a team from the West, and they play a team from the East, and West comes there as well to play the same teams coming up.
It'll be interesting to see where the Valley holds up against those teams.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, I think, more along the lines of where Marshfield does, to be honest with you, because Hudson usually is pretty solid, and Oshkosh West is usually pretty solid.
Yep.
So, GNC, Lakeland beat Pines 83-33 Friday. Christina Womet had 49 points, 10 of 17 on three-point field goals, and massive numbers again. Mosinee beat Antigo 75-23. Peyton Jerschley 18, Taylen Jerschley 14, and Rhinelander continues to be right there. Sometimes you think about Lakeland and Mosinee, but Rhinelander, like the boys, the girls are doing very well. They're 7-1 overall, 4-0 in the conference. Beat Tomahawk 67-31, and they always have kids that can put it in the hole. Auburn Clark 29, Vivian Lamers 18. So you got Lakeland and Rhinelander 4-0 in the conference. Lakeland 7-2, Rhinelander 7-1. You got Mosinee and Tomahawk are 2-1. 6-1 for Mosinee, Tomahawk 4-3. Then you have Medford, Pines, and Antigo all winless in the conference. But I guess, you know, you're never amazed anymore because she does it all the time. But Womet's numbers, especially when you see somebody that's able to get double-digit three-point field goals, just amazing.
I was just going to say, when's the last time you've seen a kid either side, boys or girls, hit double-digit threes? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, in my coaching tenure, I had one kid. He had 10 threes, 30 points, and that was it. He hit 10 threes in that game. I can't remember how he took, but he got it. But what I'm saying is, it's pretty rare.
He wasn't going to the hole. Was he?
No,
not getting fouled.
I wouldn't either though. If I'm trading threes for twos. But anyways, she 10 of 17 is outstanding from the 3-point line. This those numbers, because it's not you're not overshooting to get that. Probably took 17 quality shots back there. So if she continues to be a tough guard as her team continues to do well. So, you know, not surprised at any of those scores. They should beat Northern Pines. Rhinelander should beat Tomahawk. Mosinee should beat Antigo based on where those teams are situated in that conference. And all three of those teams still trying to hold their spots and do their job. You know, Rhinelander's getting production out of Clark. I think she's a sophomore this year, or is she a junior? I can't remember.
Oh, that's a good question.
But she's still not done there, so she's still got time. Well, averaging only 20 points a game for Rhinelander, and Mosinee's getting production from the Jerschley family again with those double digits, and all vying for those spots we talked about. You know, Lakeland's going to be up there. They're probably a little bit of a step ahead of everybody, and Rhinelander and Mosinee vying.
Yeah, just a sophomore.
Yeah, and
Robert.
Rhinelander and Mosinee vying to sneak up and take one, and you had a very – and Mosinee's only loss is to Lakeland early in the season. It's one of those conference games that come up to battle for the top.
And Lamers is only a junior, so those two big scores for the Hodags are both young, and it'll be curious to see when they do play either Mosinee or Lakeland to see where they kind of fit within this conference, because we saw Mosinee – go to Minocqua, give it a great battle before falling short. But now we'll have to wait and see whether Rhinelander can do the same. They will host Lakeland coming up on January the 10th and then host Mosinee on January the 14th. So they get both those teams the first time around in Rhinelander, and then they'll face both those teams to wrap up the regular season the road.
Yeah, it's going to be a three. It's going to be the battle for the top with that. And Lakeland's already done one up where they got Mosinee one time early on in the season. So I think interesting to see how that'll play out.
Exactly. So Merriwood South on the girls' side, not a lot of action. Just one conference game. Stratford beat Newman 62-23. There was supposed to be the game we talked with Coach Schneider about when they were going to face Assumption, but that game got postponed due to the weather. So when you look at that was the only conference game in the past week. You got Stratford 6-0, 8-0 again. They're kind of under the radar because people are talking about Assumption and they're doing what they're expected to do. 7-0, 5-0. And then we talked about Marathon last week with Coach Schneider. 6-1, 4-1. Auburndale always solid, 3-2 in the conference, 6-2. And then you got Newman at 1-5 in the conference, 1-7. And Edgar 3-6 overall, but 0-5 in the conference. Edgar, in fact, beat Spencer Monday 66-53, and Auburndale over Adams Friendship 54-45. But as you look forward again, I mean, Stratford has been I don't know if you call it a surprise, but they've always been pretty solid, but they've really taken a step forward so far this year.
Yeah, and they're hanging around, you know, a nice couple wins that they've had. You know, they're unblemished in the conference, so some nice conference wins so far. They haven't had the crossover match between the heavy hitters, between them and Assumption yet, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because both those teams are perfect out of conference and perfect in conference.
The thing about Stratford that jumped out was when they beat Auburndale by 20. Because Auburndale is always solid. They handed Marathon their only loss so far. They went on the road and beat Edgar by 19. I know Edgar's been struggling a little bit, but they have just been pretty dominant every game. They have the closest game was the 10-point game against Marathon back in November, and then they will be playing Bondwell in a non-conference game coming up a week from Friday, next Friday. So that'll be a great test for them out of conference. And then the following game, they'll host Assumption in the first major showdown in the conference. So I think the Stratford team has got I think that's a good setup to play Bondwell before Assumption.
And I think Assumption, unless I wrote this down wrong, if you want to check, Assumption, I think, plays Bondwell.
They do.
Friday, right?
They do.
Just in a game at their place that's just non-conference. So it'll be interesting to see, because you'll have a little bit of a benchmark to judge these teams based on scores rolling in. But, you know, Stratford's been a couple things over the year. They've obviously kept scores in check where they can play defense. And they've been based on the size of their team, they've been a taller team generally. So it'll be interesting to see how that makeup goes with Assumption, who's been structured at, you know, that team that throws the press at you. They've got a number of players that are athletic and can score in different ways and hurt you that way. So I think this will be an interesting matchup to see who takes control of this conference. And Marathon, you know, hanging around and playing well and off to a good start. That's why I was kind of disappointed that the weather postponed some of these games, because I would have loved to see where Marathon stood against Assumption just to kind of give us a benchmark where things are at. But I think overall, interesting way to see how things play out. And that was interesting to see that, you know, Newman and Stratford were able to move that game to Friday and still have the game. Other teams had to postpone and move it around based on their schedule. So makes it a little different as to how teams are fulfilling those postponements.
And Stratford has a really tall Emily Zolke. She's 6'3", just a junior. She's one of their top performers. They got another six-footer in Tria Tubbs, who's also one of their top performers, who's a junior. Their leading scorer, Laney Pankratz, is a guard, 5'5". So you got the guard who's able to put up the 13 points per game, the other two high single figures. So again, that balance. And when you have, we've seen it, I mean, for so many years, Newman would have multiple six-footers, and that is just hard to deal with.
Yeah,
on the girls' side.
Yeah, especially tough guard down in that post area.
Marywood Conference North, and again, Rib Lake squad had started to make a little noise, but they ran into Prentice on Friday, and they lost to Prentice by a score of 49-41. Again, not a lot of action because of the weather, but Thursday, Phillips beat Ladysmith in a non-conference game 59-34. But that Prentice-Rib Lake game was significant because, again, it looks like Rib Lake is trying to work their way into the conversation when it comes to that conference. I'm trying to pull up the standings here really quickly. I should have just paused it.
You want me to try?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, double check it just to make sure. But I think so you got a nice war going on between the top three teams with Prentice, Rib Lake, and Phillips. I think Prentice is...
They all lost twice.
Yeah, Prentice and Rib Lake are standing on top at 4-2. Phillips is 3-2, and after that, you'd have to go.
Yeah, and that Prentice win was significant because Rib Lake could have had all by themselves. Yeah. Exactly right.
But, and they did it at Rib Lake, which is 49-41, never an easy place to play.
And CWC East, Whitburn, who's been so very good, did not play, but Bondwell continues their role. They beat Shiocton Friday, 54-39. Audrey Wires, 16 for Bondwell. But again, when we see Whitburn and Bondwell face off, that will be truly the game. Both those teams are already two games ahead of everybody else. We talked about this last week, but now Bondwell, instead of 4-0, is 5-0 in the conference, while Whitburn is still 4-0. And then you got a bunch of teams at 2-2, 2-3, and the like. But again, it's really setting up to be some fantastic games between Bondwell and Whitburn.
And we'll see how that plays out, because we saw Bondwell's taken on Assumption over break.
Yeah.
And if I look at Wittenberg, they haven't played since they beat DC Everest on December 16th. Not sure if there was a postponement in their form.
They're playing Monday at Marinette.
Right. Yeah. That's right. There's a long...
That is a long gap.
...break, and I don't know if they must have... When's the Bondwell game?
When is the Bondwell game?
That's got to roll around pretty quick.
I know, because they've all...
Because they usually play ahead of the boys, which is January 7th. So is that game coming right off break? Is that the second or the third?
Let's take a look here.
That's my guess. Second or third?
The 14th.
Okay, that's a bad guess then.
Yep, Bondwell will be at Whitburn on the 14th. And Whitburn, after they play Marinette on Monday, they got some pretty good non-conference opponents. They have Crandon and Mosinee.
So they'll get some games to be – they'll be back in the swing of things, even if that that dormant period.
Exactly. And then they return to conference with Iola before Bondwell. So I think they got it set up pretty well. Like the boys, as we look forward, a lot of tournament action with the girls. You mentioned Marshfield having their annual tournament. They'll take on Hudson and Oshkosh West. Likewise, Wausau West at that event, taking on Oshkosh West and Hudson Friday and Saturday. D.C. Everest is going over to Eau Claire Memorial. They'll take on the Abes on Friday, and then Regis on Saturday. Stevens Point in the Century Classic. Talk about an interesting game. You got Lakeland and Spash coming up on Friday. That's one I think if folks were in the neighborhood, they'd want to check out. And then they have DePere on Saturday as well. The Merrill Blue Jays are in Marshall, taking on Argyle Pecatonica Friday, and then TBD. Always tough TBD coming up on Saturday. But, again, a lot of these teams are in action in the WVC.
And, well, let's start with Merrill. They down in Marshall, I think Argyle Pecatonica, if I thought they made it to state last year, and not, they're in the rankings this year. I saw them in the rankings for sure for D4. So just another tough team that they kind of jump out of on conference stuff. West and Marshfield, I think it's you know, a good idea. They're challenging some of these teams they could eventually see in at playoff time, jumping out in different areas of the state. I think that'll be good. But obviously located a good tournament in central Wisconsin, and that was the one I marked, was the Spash Lakeland game. Yeah. I like when you're two pretty good teams and you jump out and see these war. You know, you got Spash, which has a good nucleus, but they're kind of led by a younger player, where Lakeland is, you know, it's time. It's their time again. They want to do something with Wimette around there and get a little farther than they have over the last couple of years. You know, they've made it far, but a little farther. They want to,
right.
They want that goal ball. So it'll be interesting clash at the Century Classic. And on the college court, too, always plays it a little differently, I think, with that space that's on
the court. In fact, Lakeland, as we record, I think, is on the court. So right now, taking on Laconia. So they play today and tomorrow.
Yep.
So they'll actually play at Stevens Point plays tomorrow and Saturday. So that's always interesting when one team playing back-to-back. So, I mean, that could be a little bit of a factor, change especially on the big court.
Definitely.
Also, GNC teams, you got Rhinelander and Antigo, like their boys teams. They're both, they could have a big hotel, I guess, you know. But Rhinelander taking on Ripon and Wisconsin Dells. Same for Antigo, Wisconsin Dells and Ripon. Mosinee, like their boys, going over to Preble in Green Bay. Part of their Preble tournament, Mosinee against St. Mary Catholic on Friday, and then Mosinee versus to be determined on Saturday as well. So, again, these teams getting these chances, and you talk about it again, these overnights and these chances to be in a little tournament setting where it breaks up a little bit of what you'd normally do.
Right, as much as I think also it builds for, like, how the playoffs can work. You can get a back-to-back. You can see what your team's made of endurance-wise for those tough games. It out of an environment for, as you get farther in the playoffs, especially if you want to get down to state, you're traveling. You're staying in a hotel room, and there's time limits and fatigue levels, not staying up too late, and all these other elements that can be built in of getting these players to understand, you know, a little bit what that's about on a smaller scale. So I think for all those teams, Lakeland, Rhinelander, you know, Mosinee, Antigo, those teams that you listed that are going into these atmospheres of tournaments and playing some teams that they don't see in their regular schedule during conferences is a good idea. It keeps you active, which I think is the biggest thing to keep momentum going of what you want on your team, as well as testing it to evaluate it, right, too, I think is a big deal.
Merrillwood South teams mentioned Assumption and Bondiwell tomorrow. Assumption hosting Bondiwell. Marathon hosting Columbus Catholic in a regular season game. Stratford is at the Bangor Classic. They'll take on Cochran Fountain City, who's 4-2 on the season, in the semis on Friday. Also, Edgar is playing up at Wabino Leona. They'll take on the hosts on Friday and meeting Crandon in Wabino on Saturday.
Yeah, the non-conference game against Bondiwell with Assumption, I think, will be a fun one if we can catch or listen to that one at all. I think for you know, Edgar, I think it's a big deal to keep playing in tournaments, and maybe some that are identical in size are a good thing for the girls there, and Stratford just to continue to challenge themselves and keep building on their records so you get a war when you get to Assumption with some undefeated some records would be cool.
And finally, I mentioned earlier, Whitburn is taking on Marinette from the CWC East. So they do get a game before the end of the year on New Year's Eve itself, I think. On Monday, that is not New Year's Eve. That is the 30th.
I think that'll be a good game for them, though, just because, I don't know if they had a game postponed, but they haven't played since December 16th. So just to get one in before they get back in the rigors of their scheduling after the Christmas break is over, I think is a good thing to do to keep the kids active.
Got to talk a little hockey before we wrap it up because doggone it, even
for
a podcast.
I'm just
going to
check my text message. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
On the boys' side, Wisconsin Valley Conference, Stevens Point remains the number one ranked team in the state and the only undefeated now in the WVC on Friday. They beat D.C. Everest 3-0. Big edge in shots for Spash, 37-9. But again, Griffin Bunnell, very good between the pipes for the Evergreens. 34 saves. Jerome Poirier, Bo Schrader, and Jackson Schrader had goals for Stevens Point. In that game, I would say that D.C. Everest shows why I think a lot of teams would not want to deal with them in a playoff because they got such good goaltending. You can have a night where you get outshot 3-1, you get outshot 4-1, you still have a chance to win. And they do have a few players that are capable of lighting the lamp. I mean, on Saturday, they lost 3-2 to Onalaska. Thomas Passano, he's had a very good season for D.C. Everest. Cole Vance, like... Also, again, those are the two consistencies for DCE, lighting the lamp. But they've had a little struggle scoring in recent games, and I think that's something that they're going to have to try to improve, get a little bit more rubber on net for them to take that step to challenge Stevens Point, to challenge Wausau West in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. Stevens Point then on Saturday came right back and took on Eau Claire Memorial, the sixth-ranked team in the state. And the Panthers beat ECM 6-5. It was a game that Stevens Point a couple of times had three-goal leads, but Memorial came back twice. Grady Miller had two goals for Stevens Point, 37-22 edge and shots. Again, I watched that game, and it did not feel like Stevens Point was ever in trouble. I mean, sometimes you see scores where even if it's a tight game, well, it never felt like they were in trouble. In fact, the fifth goal for Memorial came with like a couple of seconds left, so it made it a little closer, I think, than the final score would indicate. Wisconsin Rapids Saturday lost to Eau Claire North in overtime 2-1. Ryan Dietz had a power play goal in the first period for Rapids, but they had no other goals in that game. Noah Peterson kept them in it with 30 saves before North was able to win in OT. And these hockey teams are also part of major tournaments. In fact, I'll be doing games with Wausau West over in Green Bay Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They take on the defending Division II state champs, St. Mary's Springs of Fond du Lac, on Friday. They take on the two-time defending Division I state champions, Notre Dame Academy, on Saturday. And then they take on an always powerful Verona team on Sunday. So it's three really good tests for Wausau West, back-to-back-to-back days. Stevens Point is in a tournament over in Neenah. They're also challenging themselves today, starting off as we recorded this podcast against University School of Milwaukee. East Merrill United is playing three games in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Wapaka, taking on the Comets on Friday, meeting Black River Falls on Saturday and Green Bay United on Sunday. So just like the basketball boys and girls, the hockey guys are and the girls, as I will talk about in a moment, are off in these tournaments.
Again, a big deal, I think. Practice again can get you better, but I just think you need to challenge yourself and run into somebody else that's not in the same color jersey
as you.
But I
tell you, Wes has no breathers in three games. Well, I tell you,
I was going to ask how big a deal is that when you know they got Wes is obviously a good program and they're going to play. It's the Division II. State champions. Is that a big deal from division like that,
well,
for West? Or is that still going to be a challenge?
This is still a challenge. And St. Mary Springs is a very good program. I think they're 8-1 this year. They're Division One this year because of the success ratio.
Oh, gotcha. So they jumped up. So it is really kind of a null and void point.
Right.
Because it's D1 versus
D1. But
they're
still the champs.
Gotcha.
And they play the champs on Friday, and they play the champs on Saturday.
How difficult is it to play three hockey games in a row? I mean, back-to-back basketball games isn't easy.
Three is... not easy. I mean, physical hockey is a very physical game.
Right.
I mean, it can really catch up to you by the time you get to the end of the weekend. So
are those other teams doing the same thing?
They're all doing the same thing.
So when they play Verona, they will have the same. That'll be their third game into. So it evens it a little bit.
It certainly does.
But I think it's a good thing to push your team through and develop that mental toughness.
Exactly. And on the girls' side, the Central Wisconsin Storm continues to play very, very well. They won Friday and Saturday on the road. They beat Triple Falls Menominee Friday 5-0. Came out very fast with four goals in the first period. Sophie Boleen had two goals. Gabby Heiser, Ava Rohde, and Malia Barigi had goals as well. Cammie Floor had 20 saves. And then Saturday, I went over to Eau Claire and saw the Storm again look very, very good, defeating the ECA Stars 8-1. Jaden Yurkowski had a hat trick. Gabby Heiser, 2 goals and 3 assists for the Storm. And they are likewise playing 3 games in 3 days. They're, in fact, as we record, when I get done, I'm going to see how they did. In fact, maybe they put it up already, because they should be wrapping up just about now in Madison, taking on the Lakeshore Lightning, and then they play again Friday, and they play again Saturday. This is an actual tournament where they have brackets. So Wausau West, they used to be a tournament, but now it's easier just to schedule everybody, right? All these 8 teams. But so, again, the Storm have a chance to continue their very impressive ways. Again, I've been very, very impressed up to this point with what I've seen from the Central Wisconsin Storm, and continue to be ranked number 2 in the state. But I think I would not bet against them in any game right now.
How difficult it is when you got – how many teams are in that tournament, do you know?
8 teams, being a three-day event.
Is it all good from 1 through 8, tough?
Superior's in there, and they're, I think, 3rd in the state. St. Croix Valley, who is always very good. Storm beat them a couple
weeks
ago. That's
what I was going to ask. Has the Storm played any of these teams?
Yeah, they played them already. So it's a solid tournament. It's not, I think, as deep as it could be, but it's still a very solid tournament. So I think that's all I got. Anything else you want to talk about since we have the time?
We have unlimited time, so we should cut it off and say, I don't know. I guess the disclaimer we always throw out there is these kids are working hard. Their programs that are trying to be developed or maintained or are already established, I think, are worth giving a watch to, whether you're only able to watch online, tune and do it on the radio, or actually physically get out there. I think it's a big deal to give the players and the coaches these programs all the time and efforts they put in. And this is kind of a neat time of year because they're on break from school. So it's kind of neat to just be able to focus on the sports, I think, aspect of it, where these kids aren't battling other factors that, are building into the busyness of their lives. So they just get, I think it's cool because they just, and same thing for coaching. We just get to go out there and kind of play and do our thing. And I think there's such neat competition levels that can be drawn from these non-conference opponents and factors that people are still jockeying for positions, whether it's to go deeper into the playoffs or to build up the seeding that I want, or to just get out there and say we're a better team because we did this. And it gives for further evaluation of these teams to see in the second half of our season, essentially, what do we want to build on? What are we doing well on? What do we need to totally change, or what do we need to just continue to thrive on that's working really well? I think it's a big deal for us to pay attention to these high school athletes and their programs, because it's an outstanding thing to see. It's different. It's a different build than the college and the pros, and it's sometimes it almost has more of an authenticity because of the kids come into the school and what are you going to do with it?
Right.
You don't get to hand pick that.
No.
So I think that's the cool element of that level of high school sports being a big deal.
Fantastic. We'll be back live on Wednesday night, 6 till 8 p.m. We'll line up a coach guest. We'll line up a student-athlete guest, and we'll do all the regular recaps and look-aheads of basketball and hockey as well. So
it'll be cool to talk about, because Chad's not a theme guy, so we won't have the noisemakers and the streamers flying. We'll just talk.
Well, if I feel like this, I definitely don't want a theme. man, it's got to get back. This time of year, it's always a battle. It's a battle these times. But, no, glad we were able to do this and keep up the pace, keep up the speed on all this, and we'll see how these teams do in their tournaments.
It'll be cool to watch going forward.
And then start to get ready again to get back into the conference. And, of course, when you get into January, the conferences really start to pick up.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get past New Year's, then all of a sudden you start to see, because it's, I mean, frankly, in hockey, it's mid-February, the playoffs start.
Right.
I mean, it's that very far away. And in basketball, then the girls start the week after and the boys start around the end of February. So once we get to January, it really is not very far away from the playoffs.
Well, and I think it becomes about two things: consistency and staying healthy. I mean, the teams that are able to do that, to play consistent hockey or basketball, and the teams that stay the healthiest really can get out of it what they want. You don't have those two factors, it becomes much more difficult.
All right, so we will be back here just 6 days instead of 7.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Jeff Gress, Chad Holmes, thanks for downloading this time around our big high school sports show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO.